The following is a presentation of Remnant. Finish the work you have started in me as I'm on my way to you.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotsy.
Good morning. Good to have you here today. We're continuing our series, Up the Down Escalator. And today's message is called, That Ain't Right. Pardon the vernacular. But that ain't right. See, there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of teachings going on now. There's a lot of people out there talking about, and I love this. Well, I'm not Christian, but I'm spiritual. What does that mean? So, well, I'm spiritual. What, you worship rocks? What does that mean? I'm not quite sure where that goes. But invariably, when you hear somebody say something like that, it's because they don't want to be pinned down to a religion. They don't want to be pinned down even to a God, necessarily. I'm sure somewhere, somebody on this planet is worshiping the great God of Oreo cookies or something. I mean, they've got everything else. They're worshiping everything else. Why not Oreo cookies? They're good. They taste great dunked in milk. I don't know. That may be far-fetched, but we're going to talk today about how we know we're on the right track. One of the things that gets pointed out here in Colossians is that we're on the right track. And so, unfortunately, there are people, though, that will hear you, that will tell you what you want to hear. So we're going to talk about that, too. But let's open up with a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts to hear what you have to say this morning, God, because this is so important for us to hear from you. Bless us now, God. Open our ears. We ask it in your name. Amen. One of the problems with preaching is that every now and then you get to a place where it's kind of uncomfortable. Every now and then you know that you have to give a message that people aren't going to like. Because let's be honest, there's stuff in the Bible that, I mean, I read some certain things in the Bible and I think, ow, I really wish I hadn't read that. I wish that I hadn't read the part where it said that I had to be nice to people that don't like me. I really wish I hadn't read that. I really wish I hadn't read the part that said, you know, it's not okay to steal. Because, hey, stealing, you could get good stuff. And you'll have to pay for it. I like the part, you know, that says, you know, don't, you know, commit adultery because I don't want my wife, you know, stepping out on me. So I like that part. But it's the Bible's not a smorgasbord. You don't get to just pick and choose. And so unfortunately, there are people that have itching ears. And so if you say these things that are kind of harsh sometimes in church, they'll go find a church where they don't say that stuff. So I was looking for a film clip, and I found one this morning that I think kind of gives you a little example of what happens when the people don't necessarily get what you're saying or don't like what you're saying, and so it's easier, instead of standing by the truth, just to change it. So check this out.
Now pay attention. We pick up an oversized sock and hang it like this on the wall. Oh, yes. Does it still have a foot?
Let me see. Let me look. Is it rotted and covered with gunk?
Let me explain. There's no foot inside, but there's candy. Or sometimes it's filled with small toys.
Small toys? Do they bite?
Do they snap or explode in a sack?
Or perhaps they just spring out and scare girls with boys.
What a splendid idea. This Christmas sounds fun. I'm fully endorsed. Let's try it at once.
Everyone, please, now not so fast. There's something here that you don't quite grasp. Well, I may as well give them what they want. And the best, I must confess, I have saved for the last, for the ruler of this Christmas land, is a fearsome king with a deep, mighty voice. At least that's what I've come to understand. And I've also heard it told that there is something to behold, like a lobster, huge and red. When he sets out to slay with his reindeer on, carting bulging sacks with his big great arms, that is so I've heard it said.
on a dark, cold night, under full moonlight. He flies into a fog like a vulture in the sky. And they call him Sandy Claus.
See how easy it was to change the message, though? That's not what Christmas is all about. At least not here. That's not what Christmas is all about, but the crowd wasn't buying it, so it was easy just to change and let them hear what they wanted to hear. And unfortunately, when you do that, you end up with people like this.
Honey, it's a very tricky color, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm.
Terry and I worship an unconventional deity, the power of another dimension. Now, you're not going to read about this dimension in a book or in a magazine or in a newspaper because it doesn't exist anywhere except in my own mind. Through our ceremonies and our rituals, we have witnessed firsthand the awesome and vibratory power of color. We experience it as alive and constantly shaping our experience. And we believe that this saturated energy is the basis of all creation. We are Wink, W-I-N-C, witches in nature's colors. Wink.
Now, I know the word witch may be a problem for some of you. The word has a lot of silly connotations. No, ladies and gentlemen, we do not ride around on broomsticks and wear pointy hats. Well, we don't ride on broomsticks. This is not an occult science. This is not one of those crazy systems of divination and astrology. That stuff's hooey, and you got to have a screw loose to go in for that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Our beliefs are fairly commonplace and simple to understand. Humankind is simply materialized color operating on the 49th vibration. You would make that conclusion walking down the street or going to the store.
See, the problem is there are people that are just so off base. And it's easy for us to just kind of listen to them and not say anything about it. There are a whole lot of people, because here's the thing. There are a whole lot of people that will take this and apply it to Christianity, too. See, they want enough of Jesus to go to heaven, but not enough where they actually have to do what they're supposed to do. Or they'll take parts of the story of Christ, parts of Christianity, and apply it, but not really want to go the whole way. And let me tell you something, that causes a problem. Because they want to use Jesus to be popular, or they want to use Jesus to get rich, or they want to use Jesus to get healed, they want to use Jesus to do this, to do that, but they don't really want to live for Jesus. And that's a problem. It's up to us to make sure that we are doing what Christ asks us to do. Jewel, the singer, had a song a few years ago, and she called, the song's called Innocence Maintained, and she says, innocence can't be lost. It just needs to be maintained. Jewel's a great example of somebody who says they're spiritual. And that's where it ends. Innocence can't be lost. Really? Innocence can't be lost? Jewel may be a fine singer, but she's no theologian. Of course your innocence can be lost. Of course it can. Seen it happen. I've dealt with kids who lost their innocence. But here's what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, our text for today, verse 8. Watch out for people who try to dazzle you with big words and intellectual double talk. They want to drag you off in endless arguments that never amount to anything. They spread their ideas through the empty traditions of human beings and the empty superstitions of spirit beings. But that's not the way of Christ. Everything of God gets expressed in Him, so you can see and hear Him clearly. You don't need a telescope or a microscope or a horoscope to realize the fullness of Christ and the emptiness of the universe without Him. When you come to Him, that fullness comes together for you too. His power extends over everything. See, the first thing you need to know about being a Christian is that we have the fullness of Christ. When Jesus came to this earth and lived, He gave us everything we needed. Everything. Forgiveness of sin, healing, the ability to go on and live in heaven. He gave us everything we need. Nobody can add to what Christ did, and nobody can take away from it. All these false prophets and all these people that are trying to, and for years they've tried to downplay Jesus, and yet Christianity just keeps marching on. Let me give you what some philosophers have said. Listen to these guys. George Berkeley referred to God as a spirit who is intimately present to our minds, producing in them all that variety of ideas or sensations which continually affects us. Eugene Delacroix referred to God as that inner presence which makes us admire the beautiful, which rejoices when we have done right. Eric Fromm said, God is one of the many different poetic expressions of the highest values in humanism, not a reality in itself. Tolstoy said, every man recognizes within himself a free and rational spirit, independent of his body. This spirit is what we call God. And the Swami, and I know I'm going to mess up his name, Vivekananda, I don't know. Why don't I just call him Joe? Swami Joe said, the living God is within you. The only God to worship is the soul of the human body. And all these people that are looking for deeper meanings, and it's right there, but they don't want to buy into who Christ was. Because being a Christian means you got to go the whole way. I've said it before that being a Christian is like being pregnant. There's no such thing as kinda. You're not kinda pregnant. He either is or he isn't. Well, he's mostly pregnant. No, she's not mostly pregnant. She either is pregnant or she's not. And look at this. If you're going to be a Christian, you've got to go the whole way. You've got to live for Christ. He's got to be part of your daily walk. I hear these people that say they're carnal Christians. Well, I'm a carnal Christian. What does that mean? I'm a Christian, but I act like everybody else and I do the things they do. I got news for you. You may not be a Christian. In fact, maybe we need to come up with a whole comedy routine like Jeff Foxworthy with a "you might be a redneck." But we'll call it, you may not be a Christian. If you cuss and talk like all the people around you, you may not be a Christian. If you think it's okay to do some of the things the world thinks are okay that God's word forbids, you may not be a Christian. I may be onto something here. Because here's the thing, guys. Saying you're a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. You can say anything you want, right? I could tell you this morning that I am a 19-year-old, blonde-haired Adonis, 6'5", rippling muscles, perfect teeth, and you'd all say, no, you're a fat old guy, and you'd be right, but I could say it. But it doesn't make it right. Abraham Lincoln used to love to ask people, if you call a dog's tail a leg, how many legs does a dog have? And everybody would say, well, 5. He would say, no, a dog has 4. Calling a tail a leg doesn't make it a leg. Calling yourself a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. What makes you a Christian is living for Christ. In fact, let's say this. If you want to experience the fullness of God in your life, there's only one way to do it. You don't have to chant, dance, shave your head, although I have. Mutilate your body, wear a funny robe, or join a club. All you have to do, all that you can do to experience the fullness of God in your life is connect with Him through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because Christ is the fullness of God. You don't have to chant. You don't have to say all these special things. You don't even have to memorize any prayers. You don't have to pray in a prayer voice. I told you before about my youth pastor. Great guy. Talked to him just like this. And as soon as he got up to pray, my most omnipotent Father, yea, that thou would come. Who are you impressing? We would laugh at him. I mean, he was a nice guy, great guy. Loved him dearly. We would laugh at him when he prayed. I don't think that's what he was looking for. He would deepen his voice and talk all King James. Dude, Just pray, hey God, thanks. In fact, one of the purest prayers I ever heard was in my youth group. I asked this kid one time, pray over the offering. He says, all right, God, bless this offering. Amen. That's one of the purest prayers I've ever heard. He meant every word of that. He didn't care what anybody thought. He was talking to God. The rest of the people, if you would listen, fine. If not, he's talking to God. It wasn't for your benefit. That's pure. When you go to pray, just pray. When you have a relationship with God, all that you have, all that you need is right there. When we accept Christ in our hearts, everything we need is right there. Forgiveness of sin. If you're distracted and need somebody to help you concentrate, all you have to do is say a prayer and God gives grace. God gives peace. We have everything we need, and yet people don't avail themselves of it because it comes with strings. You're going to follow Christ? Yeah, there are going to be some things that you give up. Things that were hurting you anyway. Let's be honest. It's not like you were doing such a good job on your own, on your life by yourself. Right? Let's be honest. When you have a relationship with God, you have God on your side. My brother used to go to the playground and he'd pick on kids. And then if they messed with him, he'd say, oh, my brother will beat you up. And I would go and, you know, beat kids up if they messed with Greg. Until one day, Greg picked on a really big kid who was bigger than me. And Greg said, hey, beat this kid up. I said, you're on your own, brother. God's never going to leave you on your own. If you want somebody on your side, you better get the biggest, baddest kid in the playground. And that's God. You have the fullness of God. If you have a relationship with Christ, you have it all. No additional experiences you need to seek. Because what happens is that the closer we get with the Lord, the more we know Him, the more we become like Him. Lynette and I, in September, were married 27 years. Now, you think we got to know each other a little bit during that time? And yet, there are still things about her I don't know. Some things I probably don't want to know. I still learn new things about her. I still can't figure out some things. I'm guessing that'll be till one of us dies. Don't know everything about a person. But I like learning. I like getting close to her. I like learning all about her. I like being with her. I like everything about that. And that's the kind of relationship we need with Jesus, where we're just learning to get to know Him. And there's that exchange of knowledge and closeness. And the closer you get to Christ, the more you feel about Him. And the more you want to do things for Him, and the less you want to disappoint Him. The less you sin because you don't want to disappoint Christ. And that's what being a Christian is all about. Let's go back to our text, verse 11. Entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in. Insiders. Not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. If it's an initiation ritual you're after, you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as He did Christ. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. And let me talk to you about baptism for a minute. If you haven't been baptized in water, you need to be. In fact, we need to figure out a way to do that. But here's all baptism does. Baptism does not make you a Christian. In fact, my grandpa used to say that baptism is an outward symbol of an inward work. We'll dunk you in a tank, and we will dunk you, because we're going to make sure all the sin gets washed off. Put you in a vat of water, and when you come back out, what we're doing is ceremonially killing the old person. And who comes up out of the water is a brand new person. Nothing's changed. You're still, you had to be a Christian to go in. When you came out, you're more of a Christian, but that's a way of telling everybody around that watches that, hey, I'm changed. I'm different. In fact, when we do a baptism, I want to give you invitations to hand out to your friends. Come watch me get baptized, because it is a celebration. And if you haven't been baptized, you need to be. For the simple reason that you need to show everybody that you know what's going on inside of you. That's, you know, you realize that's the only kind of initiation ritual, if you want, that we have for Christianity? Other than that, it's you and God. I told you about the kid that at camp that came up to us. I was helping run the camp and summer camp. This kid came up to me and he said, hey, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I said, well, I'll tell you what, go stand over there by the piano and one of us will be right there to pray with you. So some things went on and I went over there, went to find him. I said, okay, so let's talk. He said, no, don't worry about it. I already did it. What do you mean you already did it? That's not the rule. Is the youth pastor has to come pray with you. No. He said, yeah, I already did it. He said, I saw everybody else doing that. Well, I this doesn't look that hard. And I just asked Jesus to come into my heart. Okay, well, if you need anything else, let me know. Dude, you can't be doing this on your own. You're freelancing on your own. What is that all about? But isn't that it? It's just that simple. Okay, Christ, I want to accept you in my heart. I'm sorry for what I've done. Please, I want to live for you. Wow. And you don't even have to use those words. You can make up your own. Jesus, I accept you. Or something along that line. Because it's that, that's a first step. The real test comes as you live it. That's the exciting thing about it. Think of it. All sins forgiven. Does it say most? No, that's all. What does all mean? Everything. All your old stuff? In fact, the second part that we have forgiveness of sins. Jewel has, in that same song, Jewel says, to believe in forgiveness, we must first believe in sin. Now this time she's got it right. She's got a point. My friend told me the biggest fight he had ever had with his wife was when he said to her one day after they had a little fight, a little tiny fight. And this just shows you how your mouth can get you in trouble. He said, that's okay, honey, I forgive you. You know, sometimes it's better just to shut up. And she said, what do you mean by that? I haven't done anything that needs to be forgiven. And he said, further proof that you can dig a hole deeper. Well, you disagree with me and I forgive you for it. He should be out of the hospital by now. Finally, they kept going on. Finally, she said, well then, if that's the case, I forgive you for being a complete idiot. And you know what? They're doing okay now. Last I talked to him, it was a few years ago now that I talked to him, but he has learned to keep his mouth shut, and they're a lot happier before of it. But there's a point to be learned here. The fact that God offers us forgiveness is evidence that we need forgiveness. Why would God offer us forgiveness if we don't need it? I don't walk up to Donald Trump and offer him a dollar. Because Donald really doesn't need my dollar. Unless it's to buy more hair. I don't know where this guy's getting hair. But, dude, just cut it off. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here have ever not been completely truthful? Come on, raise your hand. If you've ever told a little lie, big lie, come on, raise your hand. We're watching. Okay. How many of you have ever, and even if it was by accident, took something that wasn't yours? Pen home from work. Okay, that's good. That's a baseline, because now I know who I'm talking to today. Well, we've got in here a bunch of liars and thieves. The fact that we've done something wrong shows that we need forgiveness. The fact that we need forgiveness shows we've done something wrong. The great thing about it is that Christ has done everything for us to be forgiven. In fact, Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. all. In fact, you want to turn to your neighbor and say, you know, you're one of them. And so am I. Because you got to throw in that so am I part too, or you'll get whacked in the eye. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. We're all liars and thieves, one way or another. In verse 13, he said, when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All sins forgiven. A few years ago, Ted Turner was quoted in the media saying, I don't need anybody to die for my sins. And that just shows you how unintelligent somebody who's rich can be. Ted Turner is quite a piece of work. And also, unfortunately, very, very wrong. 1 John 1:9 says, on the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. Now, think about this for a minute. Which of your sins did Christ forgive? The ones in the past, right? What about the ones tomorrow? Did Christ forgive your sins tomorrow? And the next day, and the next day, and the next day? Isn't the word all here? Now, does that mean we get to go hog wild and pig crazy? Well, I'm going to be forgiven. I might as well do it. My cousin Mitch figured that out one time. He was going to steal candy from the liquor store. And of course, I was not going to because, yay, I was a righteous child. Truth be told, I was just scared of getting caught. Mitch had it figured out this way. He said, no, we'll steal the candy and then we'll ask God to forgive us. Mitch is a good guy. He's not a theologian. But a lot of people live like that. Well, I'll go ahead and do it and ask God to forgive me. Does that really count? Can you really live that way? Is that really the way you want to live? Think about it. Just because your car goes 110 miles an hour, and my toaster doesn't, by the way. Just because your car goes 110, does that mean you should drive 110? Just because you can do something, does that mean you should? I can walk up and suck somebody in the eye right now. I can. I might get sucked back. I'd have to choose the right person. I would pick the smallest guy in the room because I think I could take him in a fair fight, although I could be wrong. See, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can sin doesn't mean you should. Just because you can sin doesn't mean, by the way, that there won't be consequences. Christ may forgive your sins, but you may still have to live with the consequences of your sin. Hey, you could take drugs if you want to. But the ravages they do to your body, Christ may forgive you for that, but the ravages of what it does to your body could be forever. See, accepting forgiveness from Christ doesn't mean that all of the consequences of our sin go away. A few years ago, they had that lady in Texas who was about to be executed, and she became a Christian while she was in prison. Now, the reason she was in prison is because she took an axe and hacked her husband and her ex-husband and his new girlfriend to death. Okay, now, this lady, if there was ever a reason for a death penalty, it's right there, okay? Well, there were Christians who said, no, wait a second, though. She became a Christian in prison. She shouldn't have to pay for that crime anymore. And the state of Texas disagreed. It's great that she made her heart right with Christ, but the state of Texas still said she's going to die. Is it unfortunate? Yeah. Did she go to heaven? Absolutely. She still had to pay the consequence for what she did wrong. We have everything we need in Christ. The forgiveness of our sins is paid for. Jesus isn't going to die for you again. He did it once. That's it. Accept him, accept his forgiveness, but then make sure that you don't have to keep doing that. Back to verse 14. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. So don't put up with anybody pressuring you in details of diet, worship services, or holy days. See, the next thing you need to know is that we have freedom from the law. Freedom. This the written code that you hear about quite a bit through Colossians is the Old Testament list of do's and don'ts that we all need to live by. The Ten Commandments is a list of do's and don'ts. Do love your neighbor. Don't sleep with his wife. Who knew? Okay. Isn't that what it says? Do love your neighbor. Don't want his house more than he does. Don't wish that you had his car and then take it. See? I mean, these are simple lists of do's and don'ts, aren't they? But Jesus came and he helped us out because here's the thing. The Old Testament law didn't grade on the curve. Okay? When I was a teacher, my students would ask me, "Hey, are you going to grade this on the curve, Mr. Gotze?" No. Because here's the curve. The curve could be that maybe the highest score on the test was an 80. Normally, that's a B minus. That's a C that got lucky. Okay? And so if the highest grade on the test was an 80, then all of a sudden that becomes an A. And who got really lucky is the dumb kid who got a 10. Actually, he's in trouble no matter what. The kid who got the 10 is in trouble no matter what. But the kid that got a 40, all of a sudden his D could be a C+. See, that's grading on the curve. No. A 90 is an A. An 80 is a B. A 70 is a C. A 60 is a D. And anything below that's an F. And you're in trouble. God doesn't grade on a curve. It's not like he's saying, well, you know, 82% of the people are not abiding by this one, so we'll not make this a sin anymore. It doesn't work that way. Okay? It's not like going on the traffic on the freeway and the cop pulls you over for doing 90 in a 55 and you say, well, I was just keeping up with the flow of traffic. It doesn't work that way. But what Jesus did when he came is that he said, you know what? Our sins are forgiven. James 2:10 says you can't pick and choose in these things, specializing in keeping one or two things in God's law and ignoring others. Through Christ, we've been forgiven. And through Christ, God has done away with the written code that only served to condemn us. It didn't help us. It only condemned us. He's given us a new law to live by, the law of love. Now, that doesn't mean that those old codes are wrong. It doesn't mean that because, you know, Jesus has done away with the written code that all of a sudden now the Ten Commandments don't apply. Because they do. So you can't sleep with your neighbor's wife. And, oh, never mind. I won't say that. You should hear some of the stuff that doesn't come out. It's frightening up in here. It really is. It doesn't mean that you can murder now. Or steal. Oh, well, Jesus did away with the law. No, no. In fact, we live by a higher law now. Let me tell you something. There's no law in the Old Testament that Jesus replaced that isn't more strict. The Old Testament says, if you commit adultery, it's a sin. In the New Testament, Jesus said, if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's a sin. That's a higher standard. Why couldn't he have left well enough alone? Because he knew that we sin out of our hearts. We sin out of our hearts. What causes you to steal something? You're not just walking along and all of a sudden you pick up something and, oh, hey, I don't know where this came from. I got this now. You steal it. No. You start off by thinking, I don't want to spend the money to buy this. I'll take it because I can get by with it. That's what stealing is. It starts in your heart. Our sin starts inside of us. Jesus said, look, I'm going to replace that old written code with a new law. The law is the law of love. Why shouldn't you steal your neighbor's stuff? Because you're supposed to love him, and you don't steal from somebody you love. How come now I can't say bad things about people? The Old Testament says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. The New Testament says if you call your brother a fool, you're in danger of hell. Why? Because if you talk trash about him, the next thing you know, you're going to suck him in the eye. And that's where murder starts. Why? It starts with hatred in our hearts. Let me tell you something. The new law that Jesus brought is a lot tougher. It's a lot tougher. Because we got to love everybody. I don't want to love everybody. There's people in this world I don't want to love. Some of them are in this room. No, I'm just kidding. There's people at work that I don't want to be like. I don't want to be nice to them. I'm happy not liking them. But that's not an option, is it? Because I'm supposed to love people. I don't get to pick and choose. Don't you wish you'd stayed home? 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. I'm supposed to be a slave to Jesus. You don't pay the price for your sins. Jesus did it for you. We have forgiveness. That's great because let me tell you something. The price for sins is huge. It's hell. I said a couple of weeks ago that if you don't want to follow Jesus, you don't have to. In fact, if you don't want to follow Jesus, go to hell. And everybody looked at me like, did you just cuss? No, that's the bottom line. If you don't want to live for Jesus, you're going to hell. Right? Sorry if it sounds ugly, but it's true. I didn't say you had a snot nose or anything. I just said, look, this is the way this goes. Hey, the great thing about being a Christian is we're forgiven. The price of that forgiveness is that there's a law we live by, and that's the law of love. Christianity is not a list of do's and don'ts. You're not going to hear from me, and I don't think you'll ever hear at Remnant, somebody saying, well, bless God, I don't drink, and I don't smoke, and I don't read the newspaper, and I don't watch television, and all these lists of do's and don'ts, the things that Christians don't do. And you know what? Look, God's going to work himself out in your life. And you're going to find that some of the things that you thought were really cool, after you accept Christ, after a while, you're going to be like, why am I doing this? I don't need to do this anymore. And from that point on, it'll be a sin for you. Now, the things that the Bible says are sin, and they're sin for everybody. Stealing's a sin for everybody. Don't get any ideas. Sucking somebody in the eye is a sin for everybody. Don't get any ideas. But there's that next portion where we live by God's law. In fact, most of my sins now are the things that I don't do. Things like not spending more time with him. Things like forgetting to love my neighbor. Hey guys, there's a great, great thing about being a Christian. We don't have to go through all this rigmarole. We don't have to do all this weird stuff. All we have to do is accept Christ and then live for him. And it makes our life better. People like us better because we live for Christ, because our lives exude who Christ is. Because let me tell you something, the world is looking for Jesus. I had a great exchange on my Facebook page this week with a person, and it started out kind of ugly. And I answered back in love, and I was real sweet. And then later on in the day, I got another answer back that was this apology and how they're misunderstood and all these things that they thought they knew, they didn't know. And I could have been real unchristian because I was when I read the thing, I thought, man, who are you? What is wrong with you? And I could have gone, you know, the next, well, I'll tell you, I'll show you something. And I could have, you know, gotten really ugly and fire off a real nasty gram. But that's not glorifying to Christ. That's not how Christ would have me handle that situation. So instead, I explained. I went the extra mile. I was sweet. I did my best to be the kind of person God wanted me to be. And about an hour later, I got another email back saying, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. And it's opened up a dialogue with this person that is going to help them, I believe, in their spiritual walk with Christ. But I could have slammed that door shut by not reacting the right way. Was that easy? No. No. But it was right. And I didn't have anything to apologize for. Instead, I walked out showing the kind of person God would have me be. Isn't that the life you want to lead? Isn't that the way you want to be remembered? Somebody stands at my funeral service one day, I want them to say, you know what? Gotsy was a goofball, but he was genuine. And he was loving. And unfortunately, there are going to be people who can't say that about me because I haven't always been good. But I'm working at it. And that's all we have to do, guys, is work at it. If you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Christ and you haven't made a decision to live for him like that, now is a great time. In fact, you don't want to wait. Now is a great time. And if you're here this morning and you've been around church, but you've been struggling with traditions that people have pushed on you, and you've been worried about not being able to say the right things or not being able to do, you know what? You need to just leave that alone, leave that at the foot of Jesus' cross and just come to him and say, God, I'm going to let you work this out of me. I'm going to become the person you want me to be. Take charge. Let him start whittling away the sharp edges. Let him start sanding away the blemishes and the places where we're not what we ought to be. Let Christ come in and make up the difference in your life. Is it going to cost you? Absolutely. But it's worth everything. It's worth everything. I've said it before, I'll say it again, especially as part of this series. I've never, ever regretted anything I gave up for Christ. I have, however, deeply regretted things I didn't give up. Things I held on to because I thought they were more important. That almost always caused me pain and suffering, and sometimes other people too. So where are you at this morning? This morning, where are you? Can you walk out of those doors today, barring any change, can you walk out saying, my life's okay with God, I'm where I need to be? Or do you need to say a prayer that says, God, I got some stuff to work on, I want you to come in and make me your person? And then let him get out the sandpaper and the whittling knife and start going at you. I guarantee you, you'll be better in the long run. Guarantee it. Let's pray. God, you're so good to us. And this is not an easy message, God, because we're talking about costs. We're talking about giving something up for you. But God, it's stuff that's hurting us. It's stuff that's costing us. It's stuff that's making us less than we want to be, well, less than you want us to be. So, Father, I pray for everybody in this room that right now their hearts would be made tender by you. They would open up to you. If your head's bowed and your eyes closed, and I am not going to make a big deal out of this. I'm not going to ask you to stand or anything else. But if you're here this morning and you need that relationship with Jesus, all I want you to do is pray this prayer. And in fact, I'll let you make up your own prayer. I'll pray in a minute. If you want to follow along, follow along. If you want to make up your own words, make up your own words. But you need to pray this morning and ask Jesus to be in your life. Just tell him, I want to follow you, God. I want to be the person you want me to be. I accept your forgiveness. I thank you for dying on the cross for me. And if you've got places in your life right now, let's say you're a Christian, but you know you've got places you need to work on, you need to give those to him this morning. Let him come in and be who he needs to be in your life. Quit playing games with God and be the person you need to be. Father, we love you. You're so good to us. And this morning, God, we accept you. If you need to accept him right now, just tell him, God, I accept you. I accept your forgiveness. God, I accept your peace. I accept your grace. I accept your love. I want to live for you today. God, give me a heart that follows after you. Make my life a life that's pleasing to you, Father. Touch every part of me and make me the person you want me to be. Oh, please, God, do that. Father, I pray for every person here and those who just prayed a prayer like that, God, that you would just come in like a flood and show them their life and move and do great things in them. And God, if they didn't make that prayer this morning, if they weren't able and they just said, well, maybe not now, God, that you would bring them to a place where they're able. God, that you would follow them and hound them like your Holy Spirit and convict them of their sin and show them that they need you. Because the alternative to not following you is not pretty, God. Thanks, Father. Thank you that you love us that much. You love us so much you sent your Son to die for us and let this happen for us. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us now, God. Touch us. Make us yours. We ask it in your name. Everybody say it together. Amen. 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 Let's all stand and worship God one more time. If you've got questions when we're done and maybe you need to know the next step or anything, talk to me, talk to Jeremiah, and let's see what God can do in us when we give ourselves totally to Him. God bless you.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.